It's Thursday, the day we read from your email. There was lots of reaction to my report on the increasingly coarse content of primetime television and how parental concerns about it bridge the political divide.
Tim Starn of Wayne, Pennsylvania, concurred with the families Robert spoke with. He writes, "Our home has foregone television for 6 years now. I've never seen CSI nor The Sopranos mentioned in your report, nor do I worry about what my kid is watching. What is peculiar is how TV manages to filter down into our lives anyway." Mr. Starn says, "While I don't know anything about the above-mentioned programs, it is interesting that I know of them, which suggests two things. First, that whoever controls television has a vice-like grip on society greater than other media. And second, that I don't regret our choice to rid ourselves of TV. Save your brain. Cut your cable."
Kathleen Gaines of San Rafael, California, wrote this, "I think it might have been more revealing if you had included in your interviews a family that does not monitor their children's viewing. I am continually astounded by how many families in my affluent, educated community allow their kids to watch whatever they want, whenever they want, and how many families have one or more TVs on in their houses at all times. I believe unlimited and uncritical TV viewing is the norm in our country. The families you interviewed represent the exception."
And Oz Du Soleil of Chicago said he was annoyed by the families Robert talked to. "Where are the voices of parents who handle these things maturely and don't position themselves behind their remote controls to really hide themselves from their own children's questions? I grew up in the days of Fat Albert and the Brady Bunch. Yet it was my fellow first graders who exposed me to so-called indecency. I didn't have to wait until Suzanne Summers and Three's Company and remote-controlled televisions."
Well, another one of our stories had a listener reaching for the remote. Matt Cowan's report on the Libertines prompted this letter from Phyllis Jaffe of Westboro, Massachusetts. "As a listener to All Things Considered, I'm very familiar with driveway moments. Well, I have a new one for you, the remote control moment, as in give me my radio remote control so I can turn off ATC. A look at the Libertines was one such moment. Why, in the name of heaven, did you devote good airtime to a dysfunctional British rock group? Who cares?"
An anti-driveway moment.
That was the reaction from Hilton Evans of Randolph, Massachusetts.
Who says, "Do even 10% of NPR listeners know this group? Should the other 90% care? Is it really news when a rock and roll group implodes because of drug abuse? Hint, hint, think of Dog Bites Man."
How about Song Sings Man? We're thinking now of Meredith Oakes' review of a new record by actor William Shatner, Star Trek's Captain James T. Kirk, on the program yesterday.
Don Franzen of St. Louis writes that William Shatner's new CD has provided incontrovertible evidence to prove once and for all that alien life indeed does exist on our planet.
And self-proclaimed trekker Susan Smith wrote this from Madison, Wisconsin. "Thanks for the story on Mr. Shatner's new album. It brought back many memories of his Transformed Man." That's a previous Shatner album. "And yet, shouldn't Mr. Shatner's previous recording of Tambourine Man have been a sufficient reminder that there are indeed some places where man should not boldly go?"
Whether you think we're well-grounded or way out in space, you can send us your comments. Write to atc@npr.org. And don't forget to tell us where you live and how you pronounce your name.
"At my age, I need serenity. I need peace. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet."
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.